But first, the extraordinary report where the ASIO representative was interviewed by the ABC about the upturn in espionage activity actually signifies how serious and frustrated the government is becoming about these multiple foreign threats. Dom Giannini asked the author of the book of the history of ASIO, Professor John Blaxland, whether ASIO's characterisation that we've never seen so much espionage activity in Australia was true and not just hyperbole.
So, yes, foreign interference, espionage, even the term subversion, an old-fashioned term from the Cold War, which, you know, ASIO stopped using for in vogue simply because the game's changed.
And if the game's changed, how are we responding to this?
Well, the government's trying to respond by engaging with the state authorities, federal police, ASIO, Home Affairs, and related organisations. The very fact that we're having this conversation is a reflection of the fact that there's a certain level of exasperation with what's happening and the lack of a mindfulness of the scale of the challenge that the authorities are now going public with an appeal.
There's a sort of spiraling going on in Queensland in terms of intimidation for refugees and nationals. How much of a threat is this, especially towards Australia?
Countries around the world, particularly ones that have less than democratic governments and are worried about their reputation or worried about foreign influence back home or worried about their students studying in Australia who might be up to activities seen as being inimical with the government's perspectives, are subject to being monitored. That's just a fact. We know that, particularly with some of the major student groups like the Chinese, but others as well. If countries want to exert influence over their diaspora, their students studying here or their migrant communities working here, it's actually not that hard for them to do. But what we're realising is that, in fact, we Australians, kind of a little bit irked by this, we welcome migrants, we welcome refugees, we welcome students from around the world, but we don't welcome, you know, intelligence-related interference that's about manipulating, about intimidating, and about changing the way Australia behaves and come to expect and appreciate in Australia.
So in terms of intimidation from state actors, obviously you have the major ones. China's been in the news recently in regards to the Hong Kong protests, but you wouldn't think Rwanda would be on the radar, smaller countries like that. Is this a pattern? Are there other smaller countries, especially African nations, that do this sort of stuff? And can ASIO keep up with so many different state actors across the world trying to influence their diaspora and, to an extent, politics in Australia?
Yeah, look, it's a growing challenge, in part because Australia is a very open, multicultural society, and we live in a world where we are much more interconnected than ever before. Once upon a time, if you left, you know, Croatia, the former Yugoslav republics, you had a pretty good sense that you could knuckle down and get out of the way and not be intimidated too much. Although even back then, in the Cold War days, there still was a fair amount of intimidation and monitoring by you know, less than democratic governments. But today, it's a lot easier. That means that with so many foreign students, with so much open access to the country, with hundreds of thousands of people coming and going to Australia, it's pretty easy to hide in amongst the background noise as that goes on.
It's a lot easier now for foreign agents and actors, like you said, to sneak in under the radar, to blend in.
Yeah.
Do you think ASIO's adequately keeping up with this threat?
Look, ASIO is... From my understanding, ASIO is bending over backwards to adjust to the changing dynamics. ASIO's job has got harder and harder because of the scale of the challenge, the diversity of the challenge, and because the difficulty in monitoring these people who are using pretty sophisticated encrypted technologies to operate.
Do you think politicians need to stand up more towards China? Are we tiptoeing around the issue too much?
Look, Australian politicians have good cause to be pretty circumspect in what they say and do. China is a very big player. Yes, we should be calling them out when we see things that are inappropriate, when they're behaving inappropriately in Australia, and when they're doing things that are against our principles. I think, though, realistically, we need to be mindful of the limits of our own power, our own influence. But here's another interesting aspect. You know, we are one of many other countries in the neighbourhood who are looking on anxiously at what's happening in China and in and around China, in Hong Kong, in the South China Sea, in Cambodia and elsewhere. When we work together, there is a certain amount of strength and unity, and certainly our voice carries a lot further when we work in collaboration with neighbours such as Indonesia and other countries in Southeast Asia and beyond.
In light of this report being made public, what's the next step for ASIO and then the Morrison government?
This is an ongoing concern. This is not going away tomorrow. ASIO, the federal police, state authorities, various government agencies at the local, federal and state levels are all going to be very, very busy. This is not going away anytime soon. But as I say, there's a real need for all of us to be mindful of looking out for each other.
Professor John Blaxland from the Australian National University and former Director of Joint Intelligence Operations, among other things, speaking there with Dominic Giannini.